in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, you can come later and just eat if you want. But you won't enjoy as much. If we hear Bhagavad Gita, that's better. Everybody wants to hear something. So they're rushing with their phone to hear something. They're rushing to the HMB to hear something. Unfortunately, they are not hearing about Krishna. And the natural thing is to hear about Krishna and talk about Krishna. And that's a natural activity of the soul. And if we're doing that, we contact our real position and the spiritual energy and become very joyful. So that's what we try to do here for a few minutes every day. So, anyone have any particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita they'd like to hear? Anybody? No? Any chapter you like, or you don't like, or you don't understand? Hare Krishna, don't be shy. Speak up. Or you have any questions? Yesterday we did some free questions on time. It's nice. Once to get started. Any questions today? What would you like to hear? Anybody? Raise your hand. Why did you come here? What were you expecting? Huh? You didn't come just to eat. You want to hear something. Huh?
What then? It's been a hard question, actually. definitely, we came. I personally came to hear something about Krishna.
Well, that's so nice.
Which purified my heart very quickly.
Wow. Okay, good.
I'd like to hear some that part, which gives me quick action.
Well, that's the power of the Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday at night, I think I read this. In the introduction here, there's what's called a Gita Mahatmya. It's just 8 little slokas glorifying the Bhagavad Gita. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds and will not act upon him. That's what Krishna says, Sarvadharma Parichaja, Mame Kam Sharanabhaja, Aham Tam Sarvapapeyo, Moksha Isyami Masuja. Krishna says, just don't have any worry, surrender everything to me, and you have nothing to fear. It means give your life over to Krishna. Understand that everything we have belongs to Krishna. Wealth or beauty or fame or money or power or whatever opulence anyone has, whatever we possess, it really belongs to Krishna. So we need to have Krishna tell us what to do with it. Then one may cleanse himself daily by taking bath in water. But if one takes a bath only once in the sacred Ganges water, the Bhagavad Gita, for him, the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. And that's something that the Sahajya, we call it, people that want to take it easy, that's one of the things they'll take wrong. You know, I read the Bhagavad Gita once, so now I can do any sinful activity I want. Right? That's what it says. If you read the Bhagavad Gita regularly, then your sinful reactions won't act. That means, because even if you read only once, that's the beginning, and you read it again and again and again, and Krishna will follow you around. Make sure you're reading it. then, because the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literatures. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literature. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice because it is the essence of all Vedic literature. Another nice statement. Then, one who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow, and Lord Krishna, who is known as the cowherd boy, is milking that cow. Sravi cow is just the calf, and all these things are there in Bhagavad Gita, in other words. I'm sorry, sometimes it's very hard to read. The light here is definitely not designed for reading. It's designed just for relaxation. So I try to read it and sometimes knocks you out. So we're saying these things. Krishna is saying these things. Great. Like Arjuna told in the Bhagavad Gita, after he saw the universal form, he said, Narada, Devala, Vyasa, most common sound in Kali Yuga, sirens. Yeah, they're constantly. So we know everything's alright because there's plenty of hospitals and ambulances and fire engines and police cars, right? But there are symptoms that things are not all right. If everything was all right, you wouldn't need them. Wouldn't need so many hospitals. You wouldn't need so many jails. Right? Wouldn't need so many police. But because things are not all right, we need to have many of these things, and it kind of seems like everything's okay. All right, after all that, did anybody think of a verse there if they want to hear it? You read Bhagavad Gita every day?
I do.
Huh?
I do whenever I get time, actually. Not all the day.
Okay. You come here pretty often, is it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Anyone? Yeah.
Does it say in the Bhagavad Gita that I should follow Krishna even if he doesn't exist?
And what?
Does it say in the Bhagavad Gita that I should follow Krishna even if he does not exist?
No.
I heard that somewhere from one of these scriptures.
You should follow him even if you think he does not exist, but he does exist.
I believe it does say that somewhere, that I should follow him even if he does not exist.
Even if you think he does not exist. But he does exist, so how can you follow him? He does exist. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita over and over again, I am the source of everything. Everything is coming from me. I'm standing here. Arjuna can see him. You know, he exists. But even if you don't believe in it, it would be good to follow. But most people that don't believe, they're not going to follow. one of the reasons many people don't believe in God is so that then they think they don't have any, they can do whatever they want, and there's no law, there's no control, and nothing to, right?
So I must have got that wrong. There is actually no place.
I've never seen
Gita, no. I must have misunderstood it.
Yeah.
So the Gita is quite definite about the fact that.
Bhagavad Gita means spoken by Krishna.
Yes.
So, but Krishna in so many places is strongly stating that he's the origin of everything, he's the original. Arjuna also told him, Devala Sita Vyasa, all the great sages always said that you're the Supreme Lord, the source of everything. Now you're saying it yourself. Now I believe it, now I know for sure.
So when we say Krishna says it in the book, is that because Krishna wrote the book? Physically? When you say Krishna says that I am God, how he described himself, was that written physically by Krishna as an incarnation?
Spoken. Then Vyasadeva who wrote it, he's also an empowered incarnation of Krishna. Krishna spoke it and it was heard by some people.
Is this Lord Chaitanya that you're talking about?
Lord Chaitanya is Krishna.
So it was a personal companion of his that wrote it.
Okay. Lord Chaitanya appeared only 500 years ago, but he was Krishna.
Okay.
In that form. The form of Krishna, the cowherd boy, appeared 5,000 years ago.
And he had a companion who wrote this down.
He had an incarnation. He wasn't exactly Aitana.
Yes.
Vyasadeva was living in a different place completely. But he's the one that wrote down all the Vedas. And previously, the Vedas were all just spoken. I just got him a little bit. Previously, the memory of people was far superior to Brahmins, especially, and they didn't need to have writing, they could just hear and remember everything. Then Vyasadeva was incarnation, he's very austere and lived very long before. And in his meditation, he could see the condition of the Kali Yuga. So he divided the Veda, the one Veda, into four, and then he expounded on those Puranas and Itihasas, histories.
Does Vyasadeva have an appearance? What does he look like? Is he depicted anywhere?
No.
No.
Vyasadeva is still living also. Somewhere in the very high Himalaya mountains, he's still living, and he's still writing Vedas. Yeah.
Can I just say that sometimes there's a difference between following and being part of a movement, and kind of in the origin of kind of Semitic or Arabic religions. It's very much a concept of following, but I think with Krishna consciousness is being part of the movement, believing and then being part of the movement rather than actually following. Even though it seems, you know, when people are on Harinam, they're following something or, you know, so on and so forth.
Well, we want to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharya.
Yeah, I don't deny that. But
we're following, but.
When you look at places like Vrindavan and places of India where the origins, you know, the Indus Valley and places, they're not deserts, you know what I mean? And following somehow conjures up a desert, you know, where everyone's riding on the horses through to follow this Jesus Christ or Muhammad or something like that.
I don't know, I never thought of that.
But I'm thinking
like following the teachings. Everybody's following something, but most people are thinking, "Oh, I'm on my own." But everything they think and do, they're following somebody, some advertisement or something, some person that they admire. So we want to come to the point of following Krishna. And the great acharyas, knowing what they taught and then doing the same thing, chanting Hare Krishna. And that's why Lord Chaitanya, he came as a devotee. It's very hard to imitate Krishna. I mean, people try. They try to have many wives, and they try to imitate Lord Shiva. They think they can smoke, hashish or something. Although he didn't do that, but people think it would be like Jesus just by having long hair. At least they think like that. Because we didn't really, they didn't teach us so much really about the teachings of Jesus so much. Just it's the only way, right? There's no other way. Everyone else is wrong. Many Muslims teach like that. Many. So that limits people's ability to know anything. They figure all they have to do is join up. But we want to actually follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So if someone tries to imitate Lord Chaitanya, then they have to sing and dance Hare Krishna all the time. That would be good. Right? That's why he came like that. So if we want to imitate,
It's all too easy, I think, to think that when you're dancing and following Lord Chaitanya, but you're actually following just Krishna, but you're actually following Chaitanya as well.
Lord Chaitanya was singing and dancing most of the time, Lord Nityananda, and asking everyone else to do that. So it makes it easy, and that's the activities of the spiritual world. Singing and dancing, not walking and talking, and singing and dancing all the time. That's what people want to do, right? So they love to go to concerts, and go to the H&B, and watch the, MTV and all those things, and sing and dance, and go to discotheque. But that dancing is not purifying. It might be a good exercise, it might attract some sense gratification, but dancing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. That's purifying. That elevates, purifies the consciousness. That's why we want to do that. But it's not blind following. We're following, but it's not blind. We know why we're following. We're not just doing it because somebody said you have to.
That's what I was trying to point out.
Blind following means, you just do it because everyone else is doing it, and you don't know what you're doing. We don't want that. We want following for a good reason. Any other question? You? Any question over there? Animal? Animal? Huh? Business? When I was in Finland one time, we went to a panel discussion high school, and the topic was, is man an animal? Of course, it depends on how you define the animal, but the definition of a human being in the scripture, our scripture, the Atato Brahma Yogasa, the human being is inquiring after the absolute truth. He wants to know about God and the soul and what's beyond this life and all those things. So that's a human. The animal is very similar. The body is almost the same. They eat, sleep, right? The eyes work, the heart, all the organs are pretty much the same. Except most animals go on four legs. But the animal they're eating, they're sleeping, they're mating and defending, but they're not reading Bhagavad Gita, they're not having, you know, they don't inquire about why is there anything, why, you know, what is going to happen to us at the time of death. They just live. That's why when people do their past life regression, they don't remember their animal life. Because the animal life doesn't think about those things. It just lives. But the humans think about things. And it's different. So that's it. But if the human is not thinking of spiritual things, then he's Dvipadapashu. He's just a two-legged animal. Not really human. So most of the people on earth today are just so when we say that, it's not like we're insulting animals, but the people who live just like animals are wasting their gift of human life. So we're trying to request everyone to read the Bhagavad Gita and get uplifted and make the world a better place, because ignorance and suffering is, you know, violent, all these things, is, violence is all activities of the mode of ignorance. Because this mode of ignorance and passion is prominent, and nobody knows any better, and everywhere's advertising to make you more ignorant, more tolerant, more passionate, we get to a lot of problems and unhappy people. So let's have some comment or question that's come alive. All right? How about you?
Is it okay?
Huh?
Okay.
Come on. Yeah, it's something. Sign up now with it. What is this necklace? Is that the sun god?
Yeah.
Vaishnava. Looks like the sun god. Yeah.
Krishna. When he appears, sometimes he's like a cloud color. Body of his color is sometimes cloud, sometimes very black.
Yeah.
Sometimes golden. Which one is original color of?
Well, Krishna originally is Shyam Sundar. So that's a Shyam. The cloud.
The color was black.
Blackish.
Yes.
Not exactly black.
Blackish.
Shyam. Shyam is the color of a rain cloud. So it's very dark, it's bluish, blackish, grayish. Not exactly any of those colors. When we make the murti, sometimes it's very black because of the nature of the stone. And sometimes Krishna might look very black. Sometimes he's golden. Lord Chaitanya is a golden color. Some incarnations are red, white, different colors. Krishna is all colors. The original Krishna is Shyam Sundar. Yam Shyam Sundaram Achintya Gunasurupam Govindam Hare Krishnam Tamam Vedami. That's the original Krishna, Govinda. But those colors, and different people might perceive them differently. At least in our in this material world, you know, many two people will see the same color, and one will say it's blue, and one will say it's green, or something, right? One will say it's white and gray, and one will say it's black. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Pictures, it's hard to get that sham color off. Usually they make kind of blue looking. Sky blue kind of. And that's Krishna's color, and bluish also. The prophet said that's why the sky is blue. Krishna's color is coming through. Any other question? No, we want, you know, it's good to any stupid question, don't worry that it doesn't sound like some brilliant philosophical question. Whatever's on your mind, everybody's thinking something, right? But sometimes no question just means you agree and you're satisfied just to hear anything about Krishna. Arjuna didn't ask so many questions in Bhagavad Gita. He asked perfect questions. So, Yeah.
You know that when we sit in the chair, if you're part of Krishna consciousness, we often sit cross-legged. And we were just talking about the animals and so on and so forth, and the propensity to be like an animal. Do you think that we have a responsibility to not just spread the word of Krishna, as always said, but also to spread the kind of physical postures that karma yoga, jnana yoga, and these kind of things incorporate?
Not so much, you know, but it's, we do need to keep our health up. And, you know, if we're sitting all bent over in some mushy chair or something, it may feel all right at first, but it ruins your back and then fall asleep too easy. And so Prabhupada, and when you hear the japa one time, he said, sit properly. Somebody sitting like this, I think both knees up. But our main thing is chanting Hare Krishna. If you can do it standing up, running around, lying down, it doesn't matter. We don't have to first learn how to sit properly to chant Hare Krishna. But if we want to continue chanting and become attentive, it's good to learn how to sit nicely. And practice sitting nicely, because that maintains the health. Krishna says you should sit with your neck and head erect. Right? Yeah, everybody knows that. My mother told me over and over again. Right? Sit up straight. Stand up straight. Because it's good for you.
Don't cross your legs.
Well, when you sit down on the floor, you have to cross your legs. Right?
They say when you sit on the chair that you should cross the legs. It's better to cross the legs. Rather than to sit with your legs open, you should cross them.
I don't know.
If you have legs that open wide, then you should cross them. And if you have legs that sit parallel,
yeah,
you should keep them straight.
Yeah, just to look better.
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
Sometimes if you cross your legs, it makes you sit up straighter. The main thing is to chant the holy name in any condition. Whether you're happy or sad, or lying down sick, or in a bed, or slouched over, chant. Whether you're married or sannyasi, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're in any condition, Hare Nama Bolo Dake, just chant the whole name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. All right? Yes, sir.
I was going to ask about the description of Krishna's eyes.
Yeah, and many descriptions. Usually about the shape of them, they're shaped like lotus leaf. They go back very far. Yeah. And they're reddish around. I don't know what color they are inside. Usually, it's probably a color. Beautiful arching eyebrows look like a bowl. You know, everything very nice.
A number of artists' friends have said that his eyes are blue. And yet, when I see the deities, their eyes are normally brown.
You know, I have to say, I've read many descriptions about the shape of his eyes and the eyebrows, the color around, but I haven't seen a description of like what we would call blue or gray or whatever. I haven't seen that. Anybody?
I thought they some people say blue, but I didn't read it.
Yeah. When they paint the deities, they always paint them dark. But they can change, you know. I mean, Krishna can have any color as he wants.
And Radharani?
Same. 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 You have to wait till we actually see them. But his eyes are extremely beautiful. Every part of Krishna's face is beautiful. So it's compared to lotus. Lotus is like the symbol of beauty in the material world. Most beautiful thing. All right, we can stop quickly because you're ready. Yes. Krishna. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita, Gita.